Tom, we need more HP toner.
I'll get right on it, Maria. Now, I could go to the big box office supply company where I'm just a number, but I love dealing with Ferritech, the company that supplies our HP toner, printers, and service. They know how to treat their customers. They're an authorized HP vendor. They locally manufacture their own toner cartridges, and it's recycled.
Tom!
Uh-oh, what now?
Ferritech, a customer-obsessed HP retailer. Visit Ferritech.com.
Broadcasting live from the Subaru of Gwinnett Studios in Atlanta, it's time for Gwinnett Business Radio, spotlighting business leaders in our area. Gwinnett Business Radio is brought to you by Ferritech. Ferritech, great people, remarkable service.
We love Ferritech and we love Maria, don't we, Stephen? Welcome to the program.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
Didn't give you a chance to say anything.
Nothing better than asking questions that you really don't want answers to.
Yes. Welcome to Gwinnett Business Radio. I am merely Mike Salmon. The other guy at the end of the table is Stephen Julian. I was hanging out with our friends from Ferritech the other night.
Nice.
Yes. So they're good people.
Fantastic people.
Fantastic people. We appreciate their support.
Much like the people we have in the studio.
We've got some good people here as well. And in fact, one of our guests is Liddy Brown. She's been a friend of the show for quite some time now. We go back years and years and years, don't we, Liddy?
Yes, we do.
Liddy is here. Of course, she's with the Speed Pro Imaging of Marietta. We've talked about them for the past year, but she's also going to be representing the National Association of Women Business Owners, and we'll talk about that in just a couple seconds. Also joining us on the show today from the PVA. And Stephen, I know you're wondering, what is the PVA?
No, I'm not wondering because I talked to her before the show, but our listeners are wondering.
Okay. They'll find out in just a moment. Melissa Smith is here. Good morning, Melissa.
Good morning, Nick. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And we have an independent film producer in the house. So, you know, Stephen, if you do well, one day we may see you on the big screen.
But don't hold your breath.
I never do. Monique McLaughlin is with us. Monique, good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
All right, let's start with our friend Liddy Brown. Liddy, always good to see you, especially when we get you live in the studio here. You want to talk about the National Association of Women Business Owners, or as we say shortly, what?
NABO.
NABO.
Yeah. NABO. Mm-hmm. I like it. Tell us about your association and plug Speed Pro Imaging, of course, as well.
All right. Thank you very much, Mike. And it's just great to be here once again. Speed Pro Imaging, as you all know, is a large format printing company. We specialize in everything from banners to vehicle wraps. So we can help you with any of your event planning, any of your vehicles, transportation, stickers, banners, whatever you need from a large format, we can certainly support you. This morning, though, I do want to make mention of the organization that is a national organization for women business owners. NABO has been around for 50 years, 40. We celebrated 40 last year. And what's important about that 40th birthday, because the organization became available and actually started back during the time when women could not go out and get a business loan without a male signature. And so a group of women that got together to say something is not right, went to legislation to say, I've got my son in the house who's 18 and I'm taking care of him, but he's got to sign my contract in order for me to get a loan for the bank. And the law passed, which is House Bill 5050, passed so that women actually can get loans. And the organization is a advocacy group, development group for women business owners. We support women owners. We give them great training opportunities, knowledge that will help them grow their business. And we have a local Atlanta chapter. Melissa and I are on the board representing the organization. I'm the current president. She's the vice president of membership. And we want to make sure that other women business owners know there's an organization out there that is designed for them to really help them grow their business.
Since Melissa's also on the board, we'll keep her mic on as well. That way we can kind of ask a question. And if you want to jump in, Melissa, as well, how big is the organization? How many members do you serve right now?
We have over 5,000 members nationwide. Wow. And almost 70 in our Atlanta chapter.
Does it run the gamut as far as the types of businesses that are represented?
Absolutely. We have the big corporate companies to the small, just getting started business. One of our latest members, she doesn't even know what business she's going to start, but she knows that she's going to be a women business owner and wanted to get started off the right way with a great group, a lot of programs and teaching and training and education to help her get started the right way.
So I was going to ask a similar question, but to kind of let you guys talk about who exactly, who isn't yet a member, who needs to become a member. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if you're a woman and you are either in business or about to go into business and be the 100% business owner, great group. Mm-hmm. Are there some other, hey, I'm a C-level executive, woman executive in a large company. What are some of the other, do they have to be a business owner? What are some of the other memberships you're looking for?
Well, we have, and a lot of people ask that question. We do have members that may represent their corporation or may come in. It's a different type of membership because our focus is on women that own their own business. Whether you own 50% of it or whether you own 100% of it, we want to focus on what are those key attributes that women need, resources and support. And not that we don't want executives in the organization, but their mission is very different when you're working for a corporation than when you're working for yourself.
All business owners listening to this interview, male or female, know when you're a business owner, it's a whole different animal, a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, but we do try to partner with them. We have networking events, networking nights. As women, we do face some of the same issues and challenges when working and trying to advance in our careers and networking. So it is important that we learn from one another, and we do provide those opportunities, whether it's through a lunch and learn or a breakfast forum, or we have an upcoming networking night that we'll do. And then we always offer the opportunity for companies that have those women who want to support us as women business owners. We have sponsorship opportunities for them and ways to get involved in different ways other than being a member as a business owner.
Right. I think that's important, what Melissa just talked about, because we do look for corporate sponsors. And those sponsors help us from a financial perspective, whether it's money, cash, or in-kind opportunity that gives us those extra, dollar needs that we do that we can then support other women business owners.
We're going to give you an opportunity at the end of the interview, of course, to give all the contact information. But since you both brought up the opportunity for sponsors, go ahead and give the contact information now. So it's kind of all there together for a company that's listening in, or a business owner and wants to support the cause and what you guys are doing.
They can go to anaboatlanta.org. Go to sponsorships and we'll be happy to reach out to them. They can email us directly and we'll be happy to get back to them. My email is melissa@thepva.com, or they can reach us by phone on our website as well.
And then NABO Atlanta is NABO
Atlanta.org.
Oops, sorry.
.org.
Right. Man, I got the spelling of NABO right, but I messed up the .org.
If there's anyone out there really interested in wanting to become a sponsor, you can call me. 770-693-1767. We'll be more than happy to take your money.
And if anybody doesn't get that straight, they can always just contact us here at the Gwinnett Studio. We'll get you in touch with Liddy or Melissa as well. Since you're both on the board, Melissa mentioned the thousands of companies nationwide. Do you guys do any meetings or have any conventions with regionals or nationals folks, or you guys have been concentrating on the local?
I'll go ahead and let Melissa.
We do both. Mm-hmm. So at the national level, NABO really supports us. So we have national partners with American Express and Southwest and Wells Fargo. The list goes on and on. You could just scroll down the list and never get tired of all the perks. Locally, we like to work with businesses. One of our latest businesses and corporations that just signed up to partner with us is Raymond James Atlanta. So they just came on board. They have a new young woman executive, and it's a great place for her to belong. We have other local sponsors that partner with us. Barnes and Thornburg is a great sponsor for us. We have our Friday breakfast forum at their location every month. It's the first Friday. It really just depends on who wants to be part of an organization. And these companies have decided that while they don't have women business owners, they are owners of their career, and they could really benefit from working with other business owners. And we have the pleasure of working with them and being with them and then celebrating with them. Kara Cleary, one of our members at Barnes & Thornburg, just made partner recently. So that was extremely exciting for everyone. And we couldn't be more thrilled for her and the partnership that we've had with them.
You've talked some about the events. Talk a little bit about some of the resources that a woman business owner would be able to find through NABO. What are some of the things that specifically would help them as business owners, more than just the events, which are very important?
Well, first of all, when we talk about our events, we do have a monthly luncheon. And during those luncheons, we have programs that are designed for different types of areas that support women. We talked in the first quarter, our focus was on goal setting and managing your time and focus. Second quarter, we're going to be talking about financing, everything from how do you get capital to the insurance risk that you have to have. Third quarter, we're going to be talking about sales and marketing and use of the internet. And then the fourth quarter, we'll talk about HR and how, you know, do you have the right people? Do you understand all of the HR rules, healthcare rules, things like that? So our monthly luncheon is designed to do a training on a specific subject that will then help them in their business. From a national perspective, there's a lot of information that comes out. We get a update daily on what's happening from a advocacy perspective within the government and what's happening with perks and opportunities from other organizations, other companies. So it's a dual membership. Once you join the local membership, you're part of the national membership and vice versa. So you get the perks of both. And there's a national conference that takes place every year, which also goes into a lot of training opportunities and development opportunities. So we try to be supportive that way. The one thing that Melissa talked about is that we also have touch points, networking opportunities once a quarter. And then the breakfast opportunity is really probably one of the best things that we do. And it allows the women that come to that, it's more like a round table. What's on your mind? What are you struggling with? What help do you need? And they choose the topics of what they want to talk about at the next lunch, at the next breakfast. So that's kind of how we get to each of those types of areas and being able to point people in the right direction for any specific key area that they might need.
And to add to what Lady said, we also offer online mastermind mentoring. Mm-hmm. There are webinars, there are virtual conferences that people can attend. There are a number of books that you can do a one-page business plan. There's a lot of things that you can get involved with online before even coming to a meeting. I think one of the best things that we did recently was had a forum for working your Facebook page, and they partnered with Facebook. And I don't know if you've ever tried to do it on your own or try to get a hold of someone at Facebook to help you, but that's really difficult. But NABO went after Facebook and they got it together and put on a great online program for that. So people knew how to boost their own business Facebook page. So things like that are invaluable.
Right. And let me just mention one last thing, which I think is very important. We have what's called a CEO roundtable also, because one of the things that we have to make sure within our organization is that we can touch the needs of somebody just starting off and that we have something for people who have a mature business. And so we want to make sure that all of the programs have some type of not learning impact that's going to help you whether you've been around for a year or whether you've been around for 20. But the CEO roundtable is really a group of women that are owners of their company, and they are a little bit more mature in their business, have had their business for a while, and the needs that they talk about within that small group are really probably a lot more heightened than you would when you're just starting out within a year or two of your business. And so it gives everybody an opportunity to find an area that fits them within the organization.
I think Melissa and Liddy just answered your question. Do they have some resources? I think the answer is yes.
Yes, emphatically.
Emphatically.
Yes.
Before we move on, we're going to talk with Melissa about her company, the PVA. And of course, we're talking with Liddy Brown, the owner of Speed Pro Imaging of Marietta, one of our partners here on Business Radio X. Give the contact information for your business and then give the information again for the National Association of Women Business Owners.
All right. Thank you very much. You can reach us at speedpromarietta.com and our phone number is 770-693-1767. And then for the National Association of Women Business Owners, naboatlanta.org to get more information. And we'd love to see more of the women. I will make a quick plug. March the 29th, next Tuesday, we're having a networking night. And that networking night will take place at Paces and Vine over in Vinings. And so we invite any women business owners or those who are thinking about it who may not necessarily have gone out and registered or found us. Please go to naboatlanta.org and register and come on out and enjoy some fun.
Anybody who's listening to this after that date, listening to the podcast, I know you touched upon it earlier. When is it, these are kind of regular
sessions? Yes. They'll find the calendar is updated on the website and our newsletter on a regular basis, so they'll be able to get that information.
Go to the website. So whenever you listen to this, just go to the website and you'll find out the latest and the most upcoming events. Liddy, thank you as well. But of course, I know you're connected to not only Melissa, but Monique, our other guest as well. So jump in anytime, okay? You're gonna be our third co-host of the program here, Liddy.
Thank you.
Now, last time you were here, former Atlanta Falcon player Jamie Dukes read our Speed Pro Imaging Marietta read.
Yes.
Steven, we're gonna let you do it this time. So you got your job. You got your job back.
Oh, I'm so nervous.
But you're following in the footsteps of Jamie Dukes.
Oh boy. Yeah. Thanks. Make me even more nervous.
No pressure, though.
I appreciate that. Hey, Mike, did you know that Speed Pro Imaging and Marietta, they help businesses stand out by providing high quality large graphics? If you can imagine it, which is saying a lot, Mike, they can make it, which is not saying a lot, because they can make it well. As the industry leader for large-scale printing, they deliver impactful images that share a message, attract attention, and reinforce your brand. To find out more, visit speedpromarietta.com.
Liddy could not have said it better.
Well, yeah. Sure she could. Absolutely.
Nope, no pressure. Yeah. You know, just like with Jamie, no pressure. She's sitting right there. You gotta nail it.
And the camera showed that she wasn't like getting up, getting ready to attack me or anything.
Job.
Oh, thank you.
Great thank job. You very much. All right, our next guest, of course, we've already heard a little bit from her, Melissa Smith, but her company is the PVA. She's the owner. What is the PVA, Melissa?
The PVA is the personal virtual assistant. I create time and you make more money by finding you the perfect virtual assistant for your small company.
Wow, I like that. All right, let's dig into that. What if I'm a company guy and I've got a lot going on, I need an assistant. What are some of the specific things that you can do to help me out and give me more time?
Well, it just depends on where you're spending the most time that's not generating income. So if you're spending your time on emails and flyers and website updates, content, marketing, CRM, those are all things that are great and are need to get done, but maybe they don't need to get done by you. They need to get done by somebody else. And there's a virtual assistant for that. There's a virtual assistant for just about anything you can think of. And I love a challenge. So
I've heard the phrase, there's an app for that. I like, there's a virtual assistant
there
for
is.
That. Let me ask the question, the same question, but in a different way, because I think probably where it starts is you want to sit down and talk to the business owner. Because I think when a business owner thinks virtual assistant, it's this giant, large, nebulous thing. I've heard about that. So talk to the business owner who's never done it, but thought maybe this could help me. Where do you start? What does the process look like? Where are you trying to take them? And you kind of talked on the breadth. I mean, it sounds like it can be almost anything. Mm-hmm. So I'm a business owner, you know, start with me. What do you want to do? What's the process look like?
Well, I really want to know your vision. You usually start out at one place. Maybe you bootstrap to get there. Now you are at a place where you're earning a great income and you're doing a lot of things, but now you become a slave to your business because as you've grown, so has the work, so has the paperwork, so has the upkeep, so has your vision to do more, but you're still only one person. So the best thing to do is really find that vision where you're going and then find out what is going to be most impactful right now. Because the second part of that is small business owners really have a hard time delegating and giving away. How do I do that? So what you might start to give away might not be what takes up the most of your time in the beginning, but something that's going to be most impactful. So figuring out a way to be most impactful with that virtual assistant. And that might be setting up your meetings. That might be doing your travel. That might be updating your blog content. It could be anything that you just know that needs to get done, but just weighs on you because procrastination is huge. And when you procrastinate on one thing, you procrastinate on another thing, and it just snowballs and you have a hard time getting in your zone. Business owners should be spending 70% of their day on things that generate income. And instead they're spending maybe 10, 30% of their day on things that generate income. And the rest of their time is just wasted being in the weeds and trying to keep their head above water.
Talk a little bit about how a business owner who uses a virtual assistant might save money over the business owner who says, well, I just have to have an assistant in the office. Talk about some of the savings for a business owner who thinks virtually.
Well, the first thing is savings on taxes and employee costs. It's very expensive to hire an employee, and it's you have to have a lot of work. My background is an executive assistant. I was an executive assistant for 16 years, and there's a lot of feast or famine that goes on there. So there may be times where you think, gosh, it would be so great to have someone in the office, but the majority of the time, they're not really needed there. And I say that in a loving way. I love my executive assistants. I'm still part of those organizations. But unless you have a company that is strong and going and that person's going to support multiple people, then you don't really need one. If you have a lot of foot traffic and you're having a business where people come in and you need someone there as a physical presence, that's a little bit different. But that person still may not serve an executive assistant role.
How does it work for your company, though? Are you, you can hire your company out part-time, full-time, by the hour?
You can do contract by the hour or by project. So I work with virtual assistants who are also small business owners. That's one of the differences in my company. My virtual assistants are their own business owners. They're not employees of me or anyone else. They're their own company, and it's their reputation on the line. It's what they don't, you know, eat, what they don't kill. And that's what makes them so great. I work and I find them and match them with the company based on needs and assessment. But it really can be on an hourly, a retainer, a project basis. It really depends on what the business owner needs. Some things are ongoing, but if I just need a product launch, that might not be going on for 6 months. I might need a project launch person for 3 months.
Now, what specifically for the PBA, what do you think sets your company apart from other maybe larger national companies?
And there's several that you'll find online as well.
Sure.
One, that I use virtual assistants that are their own contractors. So if you go online and look at those companies, they boast that they have expert virtual assistants and expert executive assistants, but they're only paying those people about $11 an hour. And I don't know anyone who is an expert that works for $11 an hour. Two, they're not really matching you based on communication strategy. So you can have the most skilled person in the world, but if you don't speak the same language, you're not going to get a thing done. And you'll spend your time going back and forth in emails or text and have to pick up the phone. And it's just become, then it becomes a part that this is just isn't worth it. This isn't worth my time. Now I'm wasting time and it's frustrating and you can't get anything done. You want to be able to really communicate with somebody. So when I work with my clients, I'm matching them with a virtual assistant based on communication strategy and ideal client fit. Because whatever small business I'm working for, there's someone that's their ideal client. There's a virtual assistant out there that's just waiting to work with them. They're like, oh, I just can't wait. This is my ideal customer. This is why I do what I do. And so to be able to match them is what works. All the skill, it's there, it'll come. But if you can't match people based on who they want to work with and how they communicate together, nothing will ever get done.
Yeah, let me just add one thing that I think Melissa brings to her company and the business is her passion. She's very smart. I want to say that too, but you can see in her passion when she locks people together, when she meets people, one of the reasons she does a great job as our membership vice president is because her skill set is identifying what the strengths are in one person and how, I know somebody that can help you do that. And she always ties people together. And I think that passion comes out in her business, which makes her business very strong.
Well, and let me ask you this, Melissa, mm-hmm. then. You obviously started the company, PVA. Mm-hmm. Why did you decide, you know what, I want to start my own company and this is what I want to do? You apparently saw a need there.
I was in Georgia. I had moved back to California. My daughter was a junior in high school at the time, and she didn't transition well, even though that's where we're from. She wanted to move back to Georgia to finish her senior year. So I left my position and my boss, I was executive assistant at the time, and he said, you know, we don't want to lose you. How can we keep you? And I said, well, I can do most of what I do virtually. I don't need to be in the office. And he said, okay, let's do that. So I started executive assisting and I figured, you know, well, gosh, if I could do it for them, can I do it for myself? And so I did. And so I started virtual assisting, and then people would come to me with certain needs that I could not provide assistance for. So the difference between a virtual assistant and executive assistant is an executive assistant is a catch-all. They do it all. A virtual assistant is a niche market. They do one or two things, and that's all they do all day long for every one of their customers. They are the expert in that field. So I found myself referring people and matching people up with other business owners that I couldn't help it because while I could do it, I was not an expert.
then one day this light bulb went off and I thought,
the aha moment.
Would someone pay me for this? The answer was yes. And so that's here when I switched. Yes.
She organizes the organizers. I like that.
That's actually an organization that I belong to. We shorten it to org, but that's exactly the name of it.
Man, I thought she was going to go, I should trademark that. I thought I just sat on
it. Already was. And you now owe them money.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I owe them the royalty. Nice. So I was going to ask the PVA. So I'm guessing the VA is virtual assistant. Does the P stand for anything?
Personal.
Okay, that's what I thought. I was going to guess that, but I was going to.
The first question I asked her, Stephen. What is the number one mistake, Melissa, that people make when they hire a virtual assistant?
Hiring on skill. They want someone who is skilled and just perfect and comes with high recommendations for the work that they do. And then they find out later that they can't communicate with this person. They talk over one another. They don't understand. They're not on the same page. They're not headed in the same direction. Communication strategy is the number one mistake people make.
And you mentioned you said niches earlier. So could companies have more than one virtual assistant?
Oh, yeah. We will put together a team and you can have a virtual assistant team. You can have a virtual assistant manager on your team. So if you want to have someone who specializes in
scheduling guests for radio shows.
Yeah. And then you want to have someone else who does all your PR and promotions, or you want to have someone who is really great at putting up all your blog content and keeping that up to date. You know, you can have one person who's, you know, can cross over lines, but technically you're not going to, you know, your VA bookkeeper is not also going to be your VA promotions person. Right. So you can have more than one.
Hold on. I have to jump in here before Mike asks you, how about a virtual co-host to just, you know, log in and call in? So I got to jump in before he asks that question. Sometimes when you talk to somebody from a technology company, you're worried to ask the question about, hey, tell me a success story, because sometimes story and technology doesn't match up. But I don't think you're going to have a problem with that. What are some of the stories of clients who you've worked with who have just been raving about what you've been able to do, save them time, save them money? And kind of going back to that very first thing you said, you create time for business owners to create more income for their business.
Yeah, it most of it just goes back to, it feels so good. It feels so good to do what I want to do when I started my business. I didn't want to do paperwork when I started my business. I didn't want to be doing updates when I started my business. Like, I get to do what I really want to do. I get to be my own boss again. I'm not a slave to my work. I remember, you know, my husband was a small business owner, and I remember we had to take everything that, you know, came our way. So I was under the impression that he was going to be able to go to baseball games and take off the weekend, and he was his own boss. And it didn't work that way. And
I get that from my kids.
Amen.
You set your own schedule. Why can't you do this? No, I do have to work sometimes.
I set my own schedule. And if I don't have a good virtual assistant, it takes me 25 hours a day.
And so a lot of it is just relieving the weight, knowing that someone has your back and is going to be there to do what you can't do. You know, you can go on vacation and come back and know that you don't have a million problems waiting for you. And it's just that relieving of the worry and the pressure. But really being able to go back to be in business for the reason that you wanted to be in business, whatever that is, whatever that product or service or support, you know, you provide to people, that's why you wanted to be in business. It wasn't to do all these other things.
So you may be working with several virtual assistants and you kind of have to oversee them to make sure they're doing the job, I would assume. You kind of have to manage.
So I don't manage the virtual assistants. I work with them and I check in with them, but I work with the client. So the client pays me. So my job is to work with the client. I work with them to make sure that everything's going well. I make sure that they're writing the right kind of contracts, that they're happy, that they're communicating right, that they're getting the results that they want, the results that they need. It's pretty easy when you can match those people up. So I haven't had any issues.
Before we let you go, Melissa, talk about the types of companies that you prefer to work with or seem to like to work with, does it run the gamut? And then and then real quickly, I understand here from the notes that you have a book coming out. So talk about that before we let you go.
So my heart is for small business owners. You know, the person who is just stuck in work and they have been bootstrapping and they're ready to take it to the next level. That's where my heart is. But I also work with small business owners who are still in a company and they want to get ready and leave that company and start on their own. So that first startup stage I work with, and I really enjoy that as well. I have a book coming out in late April, and it's really how-to book on what a virtual assistant is, why you need one, how to hire one, and what to do once you have.
Okay, great.
What's the title? Can I ask that? Is that allowed?
You know what? I'm still working on the title.
It's a working title.
So everyone needs to remember Melissa
Smith. Come back and you'll share it then.
They need to every day on Google in April, Google Melissa Smith, the PVA book, and then we'll see it when it's ready, right?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
I like that.
All right. For
we'll get a lot of web traffic going.
For business leaders that want to reach out and find out more about the PVA, mm-hmm. because I could use a virtual assistant.
They don't have to wait for that, right? Yes. Let's be very clear about that.
When they want to get in line behind me at Business Radio X and say, I got to talk to Melissa first, but how can they reach you?
They can reach me at website, thepva.com, or melissa@thepva.com.
Great. Melissa, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mike, it sounds like you would love to have a virtual assistant help you with Business Radio X.
I would. I see it right now. A virtual co-host?
No.
Virtual producer?
No.
See,
no.
Now for the first time all year, Trey is sweating a little bit. We actually got him sweating. He started shaking a little bit when Melissa was talking.
We'll see that on the camera in the playback.
Exactly.
Speaking of love, Mike, it is what makes a Subaru. You know that you can get big savings and enjoy a hassle-free experience at Subaru of Gwinnett, where people sell cars. You can visit SubaruofGwinnett.com. Join the family today. You can come in and see the difference. You can also follow Subaru of Gwinnett Facebook page for the latest Subaru offers, news, and community events.
Well done as usual, Steven. You're 2 for 2 today.
Whew. Keeping that virtual co-host at bay.
There you go. Our next guest here on Gwinnett Business Radio is an independent film producer. She's named Monique McLaughlin. And Liddy, you know Monique as well. You helped book her for the show. How do you know Monique?
Oh, well, you know, I met Monique at, trying to think what the event was. It had to do with how to do business with entertainment industry through WeBank. And so she and I had a chance to talk, and then I asked her a little bit about what she was doing and how she was working. And at the time, she was with the Oz organization, I believe, and we actually are now in the Oz book because of working with Monique on that. And so she has her own film that she has produced, and I know she's going to talk a little bit about that and what she's doing going forward. She's actually been to one of our NABO events. Been to a luncheon. So as a new young business person as she is and starting out there on her own, this is, we feel like would be a great opportunity for her to get some knowledge that from us. And really what we try to do is to help people have somebody to talk to. When you're an independent person running your own business and there's not anybody around, every now and then you just need to hear a voice of somebody else saying, you know, hang in there, you're doing okay, do you need any help? And so that's what we try to do. And so Monique has a unique background, very opposite of mine. And so I'll let her talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear about it. Monique, tell us more. Tell us about yourself and what you're working on.
That's right, because I can't do film.
Good morning, everybody. Yes, I am I'm actually a filmmaker, not only produce, but I also write, and I'm directing my first documentary feature film. So Liddy's right. We met at an event last year. I was actually working with Oz Publishing, which is a company that publishes the Georgia Film and Television Sourcebook, which is the film directory for the state of Georgia. So that's how we met. I recently have actually left Oz to continue with my filmmaking. I've been doing it on and off it's been some years, but my film documentary I've been working on for roughly about maybe about 10 years now. And we're finally in the post-production stage, which I'm very, 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 very happy about. So it's been a long time coming, but we're real excited about it. It is titled Ndundun Dole, which it means life force in the Senegalese language. It's based on an African-American urban dance company out of Clearwater, Florida. So, and the artistic director has been working with this group of children for 25 years. So real excited about it.
So you work on film projects. I know you've worked on some television products, projects as well. What is it that excites you about the business and the whole reason that you're in the business?
Well, I'm sure everybody fantasizes about, you know, film and television. You love it. You know, everybody's watching films, watching television. I actually started out as a kid writing plays and having the neighborhood kids actually perform them. So it's something that I've always done. But just the excitement I get from it is when people come out of a film and, you know, you kind of get away from the everyday when you go in for a film, whether it's, you know, you're laughing or crying, whatever emotion that the person has, whatever that experience is. That's something that's gratifying for me on a project. So
tell us a little bit more about the documentary that is in post-production. When's it planning on coming out? I mean, talk a little bit more about this dance troupe that you've been kind of following. Sounds like it's been a long time. So I'm sure it's been a little bit of grind at times, but I'm sure it's also been very satisfying. And
absolutely.
So what's the message of the documentary, or without giving too much away, but tell us.
They're like a family. I see them like a West African village, basically, even though they're in Florida. The artistic director is someone that they look up to. She is like a mother to them. And a lot of these kids have gone off to dance on Broadway. Some of them have gone off to finish their college degrees, get doctorates, master's degrees. And a lot of them come back to actually teach and choreograph because they do annual performances within the community. And a lot of the kids come back. So I just always wanted to tell their story. She and I have known each other for some years, and I've just always wanted to tell their story. And over the years, I've seen the organization grow and grow and grow. And I just love what they do and love what she stands for, because she has a real passion for these children. And she's like their mother. This is really awesome.
Changing one life at a time through art and dance.
Absolutely. And it's a nonprofit organization, and they do year-round programs, as well as the dance troupe is also a part of that as well. And they have other programs going on. But yeah, they're just a phenomenal group. And I just had to tell their story. Obviously, the documentary is a portion of their story, you know, but it's just something that had to be told. So
I have some friends that do similar work that like you do. They're in the film industry. And you mentioned it's kind of a grind, and they go up against challenges all the time. Talk about some of the challenges that you face, because it seems like you've got to have some thick skin, because it always seems like, you know, you think you have this set, then something happens, and now you got to do this, and you got to be fluid. You got to be moving all over the place, and you can't be stuck on just one thing. You've got to be flexible.
10 years. I'll just say that the project taken me 10 years.
What part of 10 years of this documentary did we not understand?
You know, you run into challenges every day. I mean, I'm going through some things right now where I'm dealing with some post-production issues, but you know, we're going to work through it. We've come this far. I actually have a co-producer who couldn't be here with me today, but like I said, we go through challenges every day, and I just look at it as, oh, okay, well, next, you know, you have to, you're right. You do have to have a thick skin to be in this industry. You're going to hear a lot of no's. I mean, I go to a lot of networking events. As you all very well know, Georgia is like a mecca right now for film and television. Go to a lot of networking events. You'll hear speakers say, just get used to hearing the word no. Once you get used to hearing the word no, you're fine. And you just have to let it roll off your back and just, you know, take every challenge. Just go with it.
The students coming out of college, you know, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed and everything. Is that maybe the biggest advice you might give someone that wants to do what you're doing?
Having the thick skin and also just going for it. You know, I actually, I started later in the industry. I got a bachelor's degree in English. I was going to be an English professor. But then something sparked inside of me when I was working on my master's in education. I decided to go to film school. And I was in my latter 20s when I decided to do that. And obviously, you don't have to have a film degree to be a filmmaker. Obviously, you definitely do not. I say just go out there and shoot something, you know, figure out what it is that you want to do in the industry, because writer, producer, director is not the only, you know, titles that are in the film industry that you can be successful in. There are so many crew positions that are out there that you can actually be very successful in. But just find out what it is that you want to do and just go for it. Definitely go for it.
You know, one thing that I learned from Monique, which was, it's amazing. And when you look at the book that's put together with all of the services that are in there, how many businesses touch the film industry? It is just mind boggling to think about every little aspect that they actually go through, because it is quite a lot. And you're thinking, even in our business at Speed Pro Imaging Marietta, we have one little section, you know, in a very large book, that all of these producers and directors and stage managers and music people, it's a lot. And I don't think we really think about what goes behind that final product when you see it on TV or on the theater screen. It's a lot of work, and it's a lot of people that touch it.
Definitely a team. Definitely a team. And that was one of the things that I did at Oz. I was a consultant, consulting companies like Liddy's and letting them know what it is that they can do, how they can be a part of the film and television industry, because there is something out there for everybody. And like she says, it takes a full team to actually put on a production. So
we're speaking with Monique McLaughlin, the producer of Dundu Dole, the documentary. I got thumbs up. I did it right.
Wow.
I'm going for it to hopefully be a voiceover someday working with Monique. All right, Monique.
You have a nice voice.
Well, thank you. Ooh, man, I like this. Okay, Monique, here's my question. So what's next for Monique? Is there, you know, what are some of the projects that you're hoping to, because you're still going to finish this and we're in post-production.
Absolutely. We'll be done definitely by the end of the summer. We're going to do a screening. Yeah, absolutely. You never know, but that's our goal. And we're going to do a screening first in Florida because that's where it was shot. And that's where the group is. And hopefully have a screening here in Atlanta by way of a film festival, because that's what we want to do, is actually enter it in some film festivals and see how that goes.
So what's next is obviously bringing it out and doing those festivals. Can you speak any about maybe what's on the drawing board or what's in the, you know, you wrote plays as a kid and you took them to the neighborhood. What are some of the next plays that are going to come out? What are some of the next things for Monique?
Well, what I would love to do is, because I've written a couple of scripts, I would love to produce something that I actually wrote. Directing is definitely back on the back burner. Directing a documentary is totally different, I think, than, you know, going after a narrative feature film, a scripted feature film. Even though we had a script for the documentary, it's a little different. But producing and writing something that I've actually done, that's on the table next. And we'll see. There are some other television projects that I've been approached about. So we'll see what happens. Yeah, definitely.
Again, so everybody needs to Google Monique McLaughlin. Let's say once a week rather than every day. We'll about once a week, once a month, and
it's like
see what comes
like a
out
homework
next.
Project. Is there a website or any contact information you want to share with our listeners?
I can give out my email. We're going to have our Dundu Dole documentary website up really soon. We just need to get the trailers for it and that sort of thing once we're completely done with post-production. But my email address is monstar, and that's monstar_99@hotmail.com.
Great. Monique, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you. It's been great.
Also, a big thank you to Melissa Smith with the PVA and Liddy Brown with Speed Pro Imaging of Marietta. And of course, talking about the National Association of Women Business Owners. Stephen, do we have any unfinished business or are we done here?
There is one piece of unfinished business that I'd like to take care of. Mike, did you know that Ferratech is your one source for all toner supplies, printers, copiers, and computers? Whether you need service or repair on your hardware or you are looking to find the best price and quality on toner supplies, Ferratech has a skilled and knowledgeable team to help you and your company. You can contact them today to see how they can help you. They're waiting for your call. They're literally waiting for your call at 770-582-1188. That was just something. I didn't read it. It was just something off the top of my head. I felt like I had to get off my chest before we finished the show.
That's good to know. Good to know.
And speaking of
that, people watch the video, they weren't going to see you reading that.
No, not at all. These papers that they're looking at. No. These are just my doodles from the show. These are the notes I took from our wonderful guests. And since we, you know, talking about unfinished business, I think it's fitting with Liddy in the studio. We talked about Speed Pro Imaging earlier, but
where's he going with this, Liddy?
Can I say one more thing about Speed Pro Imaging? Could I, Mike? Liddy,
yes.
Is that I got Liddy's permission,
yeah,
so I don't need your permission.
Need mine, yeah.
Well, I just wanted to let you know that Speed Pro Imaging in Marietta, they help businesses stand out by providing high-quality large graphics. I'm doing the other reading for them.
Actually giving them two reads in one show.
I am. If you can imagine it, they can make it, whether it's a vehicle wrap, trade show display, banner, event graphic, wall graphics, stickers. Liddy gave that whole list earlier. Speed Pro Imaging Marietta is the place for you, just in case you forgot. Visit speedpromarietta.com.
Well, now I got to send her another invoice for that.
No, you don't. That one was on me. I'll pay that invoice.
Thank you.
Wow. Thank you. Stephen, good job.
Thank you.
You made everybody happy today.
Oh, good.
I want to remind our listeners, too, that we're coming to you from the Subaru of Gwinnett Studios. And a reminder, you can enjoy this program anytime by going to GwinnettBusinessRadioX.com. You can also download this show or any of our other shows on iTunes. We ask that you follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook at Gwinnett Radio X. Check out our YouTube channel where you can watch the video of this show and many of our other shows. Want to thank, of course, our producers, Z and Trey. Great job as usual. Steven, any final words? Any more reads you want to throw in another Speed Pro Imaging read or something? No. Well, no.
Yes, I would love
no,
to.
We're out of time.
But you're telling me no, so blame Mike.
Thank you, Liddy, and appreciate it. Absolutely. And thank all our guests and thank our listeners as well. For Stephen and the rest of the crowd here, I'm Mike Salmond, and we'll see you next time right here on Gwinnett Business Radio.
We need more HP toner.
I'll get right on it, Maria. Now, I could go to the big box office supply company where I'm just a number, but I love dealing with Faratech, the company that supplies our HP toner, printers, and service. They know how to treat their customers. They're an authorized HP vendor. They locally manufacture their own toner cartridges, and it's recycled.
Tom!
Uh-oh, what now?
Faratech, a customer-obsessed HP retailer. Visit Faratech.com.